the west side, the west side. Some call it the best side. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. It is Ricky Q. Hendon here in the studio with you, Ricky Jr. That's what we're doing now, Paul. We're going by Junior.
Yeah?
Believe it or not, yeah.
Okay.
We talked about that on the show before, but me and my dad, we finally sat down. We're like, we're tired of people confusing us.
Let's just Ricky Q had a ring to it. But.
You know, it's still going to be there. I'm still going to be Ricky Q. But, you know, the whole Junior thing just seems to make life so much easier for both of us. And we had a conversation about it, and it was like, you know, the only reason I didn't give you it is because I didn't want you to have the pressure that comes with, you know, following in my footsteps as a result of that. Obviously, my dad was, you know, state senator and very well accomplished, and he didn't feel like putting that on me. And I'm like, Dad, look at where we are today, right? You know, I'm doing the show. We do a lot of the same things. And so I've made that as a change. And so
you got a cool middle name, though. Quo Vadis.
That is right. For everybody who has wondered what my middle name is, it is Quo Vadis. It is a direct translation from Latin, and it means where are you going? It's biblical, actually, because there's one point in the Bible where God is talking to one of his disciples who's trying to escape persecution. And then God comes down from the heavens, and then in Latin, because obviously God spoke Latin, he says Quo Vadis, you know,
okay.
The old Bible. So that's where that comes from. But with that said, we have a very, very special show for you here today. And anybody listening here live on the radio is going to be very familiar with our guest because, coincidentally, he was just on the Dick Kay Show. Congressman Danny Davis is joining us here in the studio. Congressman, how are you?
I am doing just fine, and I really like that interpretation and information relative to Quo Vadis. And I didn't know it really came from the Bible. I thought it was just one of these Latin words that...
that somebody picked, huh?
Yeah, I thought it may have come from Italy. Yes.
No, it is biblical. I actually got it from my uncle. And so that's where it comes from. Congressman, we thank you for being on the station and sticking with us here at WCPT, considering you just had a great conversation with Dick Kay. I was talking to Paul, who works in the engineering room here, and he's like, I think this only ever happened one other time before in the history of the station. So exciting. And I'll try to, you know, maybe steer the conversation a little bit differently from what you had with Dick Kay. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Fantastic. Well, the first thing I want to do is just kind of give people a little background on you for anybody who have just listened to you, or maybe now they're just hearing about you from the first time. But you have been in the U.S. Congress for 25 years, almost 25 years, 1996. Your congressional district, the 7th congressional district, is a very, very diverse one, something you talk about a lot. It includes the Loop. It includes the west side of Chicago. It includes parts of the south side of Chicago. It includes Oak Park, River Forest, Bellwood, one of the most diverse congressional districts in the entire country. You serve on the House Committee on Ways and Means, which really just handles how we deal with all of our money from taxation to tariffs to Social Security, all that fun stuff. And I did some research on you from back in the day when I was 4 years old, when you first got elected to that seat, and you ran on some platforms that are maybe popular today but weren't so popular back then. So you were pro-choice, you supported gay rights, you know, the EPA, and single-payer health care as well. So I just want to give people a little bit of background on who you are, and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Well, let me tell you, it's a pleasure indeed, and I'm always grateful to the people of the 7th District. Because one of the characteristics that oftentimes people don't recognize is that we have some of the lowest income people in urban America
mm-hmm.
who live in our district. And oftentimes people are of the opinion that low income people are not engaged. But, you know, in this recent election, 247,000 people voted.
Wow.
In our district, 207,000 of them voted for me. And if you check voting records in a whole lot of districts throughout America, more people voted and were engaged in our district than in a whole lot of others.
Yeah.
and so oftentimes when people get the information. For example, somebody pointed to me the other day, they pointed out that people in my district, that people on the south and west sides of Chicago were not getting the vaccinations for the coronavirus as much as people were in some other places. And I said, well, is that a surprise to you when the people who the first shot is people who work in health care? Mm-hmm. How many doctors and nurses and inhalation therapists and all these other people do you know that live in the Lundale area?
Right.
Or live in the Garfield area? And so I'm saying that knowledge is power, and understanding things. We were, Dick and I were obviously joking and feeling good because both of us grew up in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Well, many of the people who live in my district were part of the last big wave of migration from the rural South.
Yeah.
Where they fled to places like Chicago, trying to escape white privilege, trying to escape racism, trying to escape poverty and deprivation. And so the fact that there are some things about urbanization that they may not have appreciated as much or knew as much doesn't surprise me because I know those things. And so I know who my constituents are. I know the guys in the alley, the guys who used to be able to go in the alley and fix their cars, who can't go in the alley now and fix their cars because you got to have a computer and you got to know technology. And so you can't do that now.
Yeah, things have been a little bit more complicated, huh?
Yeah, if you had a carburetor, and you could go in there and fix it up and jump in and be gone.
And
so it's a pleasure, you know.
Yeah. And Congressman, I'm glad you mentioned that district because that is a district that I've grown up in, right? And I've talked about it on the show quite a bit. Obviously, my dad was, you know, the state senator, but, you know, we still lived, you know, in Garfield Park, and we saw a lot of the poverty and a lot of the things that you're talking about. And like you said, in that district, you had a lot of people who moved from certain southern areas or areas where they were predominantly white and, you know, there wasn't fairness in how things were done. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, my dad and his family is from Ohio, and my mom and her family were from Ohio as well. And so, you know, it's just funny that you say that because it's ringing home. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining the show, Congressman. You mentioned something on the Dick Cavett Show that's going to be a perfect segue to what we want to talk about here. And I just have a clip for you before we go ahead and talk about it here. So, Paul, if you want to play the clip for the Congressman and all of us listening, and then I'll have my question for the Congressman. It's really short.
My colleagues have been harassed on the street. They've had mobs swarm them at airports. Some of them have had death threats and are currently under armed protection. You know, we realized that was a vote that we cast that put our safety at risk. And going forward, you know, I'm expecting there will likely be more political violence. And so, you know, my expectation and the expectation of some folks I'm talking to who are trying to vote our conscience on this is that there will be folks who try to kill us.
So, Congressman, that is your colleague in the in Congress, Republican Peter Meyer of Michigan. And he was specifically talking about his Republican colleagues that did do the right thing and that did, you know, obviously vote against overturning the election and some of the threats that they faced and everything that has gone on. Obviously, you were at the Capitol when all this happened. And so I just want to get your general thoughts on what, when you hear that clip from him and, you know, you hear the Republicans that are trying to do the right thing, but then you also mentioned how, you know, many of them are afraid to do the right thing because of, you know, what Rep. Meyer said. What's your reaction to just to all of it?
Well, you know, as a student of history, I can't say that I'm totally surprised, because I remember when two of our leading national figures had a duel.
Yeah.
You remember Hamilton, right?
Yeah, very famously.
And Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, these guys had a duel.
Mm-hmm.
One shot the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, so this disagreement business has been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the Civil War, and you look at slavery and the fact that we fought that civil war where more people got killed in that war than all of the other wars that we've been in as a nation since our existence, because it was just that, I'm saying, people were that intense about how they felt. And so there are still people in our country who believe that the changes that we've made have been more and better than what they wanted to see. And you don't want to think that there are people that way.
Yeah.
But there are. I mean, I was brought up to live by the golden rule, and that is simply to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't taught to do unto other black people as I would have black people do unto me. I wasn't taught don't do unto white people as you would have them do unto you. I was taught that all people were people,
mm-hmm.
and ought to have equal treatment, equal access, equal opportunity. So how would I deny somebody else the right to vote? I'm saying, if I believe that,
right,
how would I try to make it more difficult for them to vote by putting the polling place for them on the other side of the railroad track, knowing if a train came by and it was a long freight train,
the people would be stuck.
It may take an hour.
Wow.
Before I can get across to go. I'm saying, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure these things out. So there are some people who just simply have not thought and do not see other people as being the same as they are and should have the same opportunities that they have, or have the same protection under the law that they have. And so other than constantly trying to change their thinking, but doing the other part of it, not letting them run over you. I mean, I treat everybody right, but I don't take no BS.
Can I jump in there? I just can't do that. Amen to that, Congressman. And let me just jump in here with that, because you bring up some great points, right? I mean, we are approaching Martin Luther King Day right here on Monday. And it has been 51 years since, obviously, he lost his life in the fight for civil rights. Yet you can see what we have right now. We're still facing some of the same problems, and we're definitely facing some of the same enemies, some of the same exact people. So what do you think that we should do at this point to kind of bridge the divide that we have right now in our country?
Well, I think you have to, it's kind of like I used to tell kids when they lived in the inner city,
mm-hmm.
and the gangs were all around and they didn't want to join a gang. And I would say the way you keep from having to join a gang is let the gangs know that you're not afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with them now. Don't don't be messing with them.
Right.
Because they run in a gang. They a group. So you just, but you let them know that you're going to fight back if they fight you. If they attack you, you're not just going to stand there and take no whooping. But if you fight back, I learned as a little boy, we had a bully in our neighborhood. And we called him Joe Lewis. He just beat up on any and everybody. And he jumped me one day and I saw a piece of lead pipe laying on the ground. I picked that lead pipe up and hit him upside his head.
Defended yourself.
Blood started running and stuff. I never had another bit of trouble out of Joe Lewis for long as I lived.
Wow.
Never, ever. But I ain't never bothered nobody because it ain't been my nature, even as a kid, to attack somebody aggressively and all of that. But I never had another problem. And so that's what I think we have to do. We have to let people know that we're not going to take stuff lying down. That we're just not going to say, well, that's the way it is. Lord, help them. Mm-hmm. I say, Lord, help them after I smack them.
Mm. Yeah.
I help them up.
That is a good point, Congressman, because I do feel like a lot of times Democrats try to take the high road and don't respond to a lot of the things that we deal with on an everyday basis, especially when you're talking about some of the things that are more current with the right. But you're right. We do have to fight back. We can't just sit back and just let some of these things continue to happen, because how do you negotiate with terrorists, right? People who try to attack you and kidnap you.
Some of the people, you can't describe them as being anything other than that. I'm saying, I happened to be on the airplane when I left, coming back to Chicago the next day, but I had to go to Texas in order to get back to Chicago. And so I rode the plane with a lot of people who were from Texas. And they were just having their conversation. And they were people who had actually come to participate.
Wow.
They had on their red caps and their red sweatshirts. And
the people you had just dealt with that were trying to come and kidnap you.
Yep. A lot of people on that plane.
Wow.
Were. And I just listened. I mean, I was fortunate. They didn't know I was a member of Congress, nothing like that.
I'm sure you didn't tell them, but too, right?
I sure didn't. I was just as subdued as I could be.
Right, right.
With my head down, reading my newspaper and stuff, but listening at the same time. And so you learn to govern yourselves, but if you keep pushing, eventually you break through. See, I these things that you mentioned, the Bible, there are things that the Bible say in terms of faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed and say the yonder's mountain be moved, the mountain will ultimately get out of the way. And if it does not, get you some nitroglycerin, some dynamite, TNT, and blow that sucker up.
Right.
But you learn these things in terms of learning how to survive in certain kinds of environments. And yeah, those of us who live in places like Chicago are very fortunate, because we don't see as much of the hardcore Illinois just elected a black state rep to be the House. the other day.
Yep.
State Representative Emanuel Chris Welch. Now, I don't expect Chris to be the panacea for everything that's wrong with my community. I do not expect that. But I do expect Chris to use the influence of his position, which should make him a bit more effective at getting the things done that he wants to get done than he may have been before he was elevated to the point of being speaker. And now I do expect him to do that. And that's what leadership does. Leadership takes advantage of the position that one might hold in order to accomplish those things that he or she wants to accomplish. Doesn't mean that you trample on other people. Doesn't mean that you don't give consideration to them.
Right.
Does not mean you don't give consideration to their thoughts and ideas. You do all of that, and that's what leadership really is. You rise to the occasion. Lyndon Johnson, a great example of that.
Mm, yeah.
Southerner from Texas who ushered through the civil rights legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Some had been laid down by, you know, the Kennedy administration before in terms of establishing or laying the groundwork. Dr. Martin Luther King.
Right.
And you know, every time I hear Dr. King's speeches and stuff that he said, to me, I get as excited as I was when I heard it during that time coming from him.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it still sends chills up and down my back.
Yeah.
I have a dream.
Amen.
Listen all day. Yeah. Well,
Congressman, I've got one other good leader that I think you might be happy to talk to here on the line with us. His name is Ricky Hendon, the other Ricky Hendon, my father. He called in, and so I figured we have him jump on and say hello to you real quick, and you guys can have a quick conversation. What's going on, Dad? You are live on the show with Congressman Davis.
You don't have to take my call. I appreciate you taking my call because I brought you into this world.
Sure, sure. What's going
you
on?
Got my favorite congressman on the line, and I know it's people want to get in. So I just had two questions, Danny, to ask you about what happened in Washington. One is I heard that some Republican congressmen or senators or maybe Capitol Hill staff let some of the protesters walk through the Capitol a few days or a day before the protest, like giving them a lay of the land. And I want to know if that's true. And my last thing, and I'll just hang up to listen, is I've heard that was Trump trying to still put in some kind of martial law order that would allow him to stay in the presidency? Those are the two things I'd like to know.
Well, two things. One, some of the individuals knew things that they could not have known.
Wow.
Unless someone showed them and told them.
Wow.
In terms of the location of some things. Like Jim Clyburn has two offices. One office is the common office. The other office, we can't even find.
That's right.
I'm saying.
I'm
but saying. Somehow or another,
in the back,
the protesters knew where it was.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If and then there was the brother who say he went through a window that had been broken out and got in. Yes, I do believe there seriously that there was complicity involved and some members of Congress may have been, whether it was overt or covert, that there was some complicity. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not really that. I mean, but I do believe.
Conspiracy if it's true. Conspiracy if it's true.
Exactly.
That's a conspiracy. It ain't no theory. I mean, if it's true, that's the truth. That means that you all should take some kind of sanctions. You can take some kind of sanctions against those if you found them to be guilty. Is that right or wrong?
Investigatory action is underway, and there is proposed legislation that would, you know, Congress can vote to put people out.
Put them out?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. We can do that. And so if they are found to be complicit, then we will have mechanisms that can be used to vote them out. And we do obviously have a majority in the House, which means that we can do the will of the body.
Right, absolutely.
So, right, I say throw them to the lions. That's what I say.
I mean,
there are lions out there ready to devour them.
and back up.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're committing treason like that, right, Congressman, you just said that you know there are certain things that you don't even know, right, about the Capitol building that they would have had to get from inside information. So that says a lot. I just want to reset the show real quick for both of you. Anybody tuning in now, we're on the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. We have had Congressman Danny Davis with us here from the 7th Congressional District. Congressman, you've been with us for about 30 minutes. We appreciate it. You can stick around with us. And Senator Hendon, hello.
I'm gone. Okay.
All right. See ya. Congressman, I know you've had a busy day. You can stick with us longer if you'd like, but if not, I totally understand.
All right. I got to run. But let me just say this to Senator Ricky Hendon, who, has been engaged with me and we've been engaged together since he was a young Democrat, and I always thought he was one of the most effective senators that we've ever had in the Illinois General Assembly, and I appreciate his continuing engagement. And so, Ricky, although I must confess that the FBI investigated me one time because they saw where there was a Ricky Hendon, who had gotten a scholarship from, and they say, "You Ricky Hendon?" So, what kind of school is he going to? See, I said, "Well, we just didn't put the Ricky Hendon Jr. down. He go to Bradley University."
That's right, and that was me, Congressman.
Yeah, he go to Bradley University. You can check him out.
Yeah,
he probably on the dean's list.
Well, I wasn't on the dean's list, but you know what, Congressman? I did use that scholarship that you gave me to buy my first laptop, my very first laptop, and I can't even tell you how valuable that was for me with my education. So, thank you once again, the Honorable Congressman Danny K. Davis. Thank you, Congressman. And we appreciate all that you do for all of Illinois and the country as a whole.
Thank you both, Ricky Hendon. It's a pleasure.
Take care.
All right.
Well, everybody, you got to hear Congressman Davis there. Really, give us a lot, right? Just good, strong personal life advice. And anybody that's ever spoken with the congressman knows that he will definitely give you that about how to improve your community, stay involved, and to fight back, right? Like I said, sometimes as Democrats, as progressives, we tend to try to take the high ground, right? And we think that we're on the right side of a lot of these issues, and we don't really push back, but we have to, right? We can't negotiate with people who are, you know, literally committing treason, you know, against our country. And, you know, just for him to report as well that these people clearly had information about the Capitol building that they would not have had had they not had been giving that information directly by other, you know, congressmen and women. I mean, that is pretty telling about where this is all headed here. And I think that a lot more of this will come out once the transition is done to the Biden administration, because obviously, you know, the people that he's going to be putting in charge are going to be a lot more concerned with actually taking care of this stuff. But man, Paul, I mean, as you hear that, I mean, what is your reaction to that? And, you know, by the way, Paul is engineering for us, DJing for us here today. When you hear that, Paul, what do you...
When I hear what now?
Specifically, the congressman say that he knows for a fact that there were people who were in the Capitol building who could not have known where certain locations and certain rooms were if they hadn't got that information directly from basically other congressmen.
No, just all of the stuff leading up to the moment, just, you know, it is an insurrection. You know, like the day before, there were people taking tours and they weren't supposed to be taking tours. Certain congressmen and women that may or may not be involved with some of the planning, organizing, or at least having their ear open to some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not surprised in the least, but at the same time, it's like all these people that did this at the Capitol, I really thought they liked America. I really believed that up until that day. You know, and the fact that there was Trump flags and Confederate flags in the
Capitol building. Yeah.
You know, and for those that love that Confederate flag, I just want you to remember where the U.S. Army stood during the Civil War. It was the Union. That's what the U.S. Army was.
Right.
We still have one of the best militaries in the world. Whose side do you think they're going to be on?
Exactly. Exactly. And they have, you know, shown us that already. I've seen pictures and posted some myself of the National Guard, you know, sleeping in the Capitol on the floor.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't need to be doing that. But, you know, here we are because these so-called patriots feel like they're going to take back their country and use force, according to Donald Trump. And, you know, it's really sad to see. And the whole irony of, you know, these people this whole summer saying, oh, well, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. Right. And now I've been seeing a lot of people on Facebook, you know, post this profile picture of, you know, the blue line stops here. And look, I've talked about it on the show before. I've got family members who are police officers. Obviously, they're important. They have the hardest job in the world, in my opinion, especially when we're putting additional measures on them. They do make their lives harder, but it's going to make us people who are doing the right things safer. Right. But at the same time, when you take that stance and then you have cops who are beaten and killed as a result of this, right? I mean, I was reading one article about one police officer who was overrun by a mob, and they were shouting, take his gun and shoot him with his own gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have the audio of that, Mike Fanone, I think, was the cop's name.
And he was like, I didn't know what to do. I knew if I used my weapon that they were still going to overpower me, and so I just appealed to their humanity and shouted that I have kids, and that stopped them. And these are the people that are supposedly patriots. These are the people that Congressman Davis has to, you know, fly on a flight to Texas with while they're wearing their MAGA hats, proud of what they did. I mean,
but it doesn't surprise me in the least, though, that they have no idea who Danny Davis is, you know, when they're on the same flight as him.
Exactly. You know? Don't pay attention. I mean, this is one of the longest serving members of Congress that we have, you know, sits on the House, you know, Ways and Means Committee, which is basically the money committee. Right. And they don't have any idea who he is. And I'm sure he was fine with that. Like you said,
I mean, it just goes to show you how clueless some of these people are about, you know, what's going on in their own lives in this country.
Or just the general rule of law. I mean, I did the one thing that I try not to do is get into Facebook arguments
with
random people. And there was some post about the election, and it was like, well, I posted that, well, you know, this has been decided. We have a referee, and it's the judges, and they decide on this. And this one lady was like, well, those cases were all thrown out just because of the way they were written.
Okay, and, come back with better written
and I'm
ones.
Like, I don't, you know, what do you mean? Do you realize that the people writing the lawsuits are the Trump administration? This isn't the people, you know what I mean? But like clearly, and I was about to go down that line with her, but it's like she just doesn't know.
Yeah.
And so it's partially an education problem, but at the end of the day, well, we just.
She doesn't care to know either. And that's the frustrating part.
Right.
You know, that's usually, I mean, since I've been at the station, every time we have one of our right-wing callers call in, most of the time, if not every time, it comes down to a point where it hits a wall when you hit them with a fact, and it's just, well, I just disagree with that one. It's like, but that's what it is. That's exactly. what it is. And exactly. it pokes a giant hole in your argument. Well, I disagree with that. It's like, you just can't disagree with a fact.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the worst part of it is that we have so many enablers in Congress that are continuing to let this happen, right? So, obviously, this week we had Donald Trump impeached for the second time, and our callers, please hold. We will get to you. It's just been, you know, a lot going on with this particular show. But for the second time, we've had Donald Trump impeached, mm-hmm. right? We had over 200 Republicans in the House of Representatives vote not to impeach him. We only had 10 out of 211, right? Now, granted, that's 10 more than we had the first time around, but at the same time, you would think that there would be some progress made towards bringing that side closer, because they know, like Congressman said on the show before this, you know, they know right from wrong, and some of them are trying to get out of it, some of them are afraid, but you know, this can't continue, this can't be acceptable. And one of the things that I think strategically we need to do, anybody that's listening that cares and wants to fight back, like the congressman said, is that we need to attack the money, right? We need to, you know, go to their donors, right? And we need to let them know that we're not going to shop at their stores if they continue to make donations to the people who, you know, voted to overturn the election. We need to do that. We need to support their primary opponents, right? That means that you might have to make a donation to a Republican or two. You know what I mean? However you want to do it, even if you don't donate, if you make calls, however you want to do it. But either way, we need to go ahead and make sure that the people who did this actually lose their seats. And attacking the money is one way to do it. I heard one political strategist say that obviously Fox News is complicit in this because of the way that they've covered everything for a long time. One thing that he recommended doing is going to your cable provider and telling them that you want to take Fox News out of your package. And maybe they reduce your monthly amount by, you know, 50 cents or a dollar. But that's how Fox News gets the majority of their money. Right. Now, granted, the drawback with that is that now then you become inside your own bubble. But at the same time, at some point, you got to fight back, like the congressman said. And so those are just some tangible ways that I think that we can start to go ahead and fight back. And I think we should act on some of them. But with that said, we love taking listener calls on the show. So let's go to Paul. I'll just let you pick one since the screen is jumbled in front of me and I can't see what people are talking about.
Oh, it's the same with me, but I'll go with Matt the first one up.
All right. Matt, you are on the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. What is going on?
You know, I just wish there was one week where I could call in and something crazy would have happened during the week. Just once. It's always such a lackluster week.
Just
nowadays.
Boring week in politics. Nothing's happened. Yeah, go figure. Maybe in a couple of weeks when we got Biden in there, hopefully it gets boring.
No, he'll still find a way to do something. Not Biden. Trump will do something, find a way to drive this all crazy. But that digress. He got impeached. Again, now all we have to do is have the Senate impeach him, and then he will lose his pension, which I'm sure he doesn't need, although depends on whether or not you think he's great.
He might need it.
Yeah, he won't have Secret Service protection, which I'm not advocating for violence, but to think of those people having to follow him around for the rest of his life, which, mind you, with his health and everything.
Let me jump in there, Matt. That's a great point, because one of the things, I mean, Donald Trump's done so many just awful things over his presidency. One of the things about with Secret Service that he did that was awful is, remember when he got COVID and he went to the hospital, and then while he was still positive with COVID, he took a drive around the hospital to wave to his supporters in the Secret Service vehicle that was protected against chemical attacks from the outside, to the point where anybody with COVID inside that vehicle definitely gave it to somebody else. You know what I mean? Just the fact that
even to mention the fact that this past week, apparently the Secret Service had to rent out a $3,000 apartment to use the bathroom. No, sorry. He wanted them to rent out a $3,000 apartment to use the bathroom while they were protecting him. The Secret Service ended up having to go to the Obama's house to use their toilet.
Wow.
He didn't want the Secret Service using his toilet. Which, in Mar-a-Lago or New York, where, somewhere, I definitely know what they're talking about this week.
Yeah.
It's just, he's a terrible person, but most of all, and this is the thing that galls me more than anything else, he will not be able to be buried in Arlington. And I've thought about this. I've thought about what happens when he passes away. And he does not deserve, remotely deserve, that whole walkthrough, that whole
thing. Oh, could you imagine the irony of him lying in state at the Capitol?
Oh my God!
I can't physically vomit, but it makes me vomit. But look,
and Matt,
I'm going to be listening every week.
While you're on that, go ahead. I'll let you finish up.
No, I'm going to be listening between 4 and 5 every week to the Ricky Hendon Jr. Show.
My man, Matt. I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you, as always. Another boring week in America. But one thing that he said that stood out to me is that, you know, obviously, you know, Trump laying in the Capitol, if he, you know, well, he is going to die at some point, and him not being there, I think it's very symbolic for him not to be able to have that right. But more importantly, like the congressman said on the previous show, it's important to make sure that if they do convict him in the Senate, because he's already been impeached in the House, that means that they can have a second measure where they can vote to say that he can't ever run again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a very important thing because, number one, he could run again and then here we go. Mm-hmm. All this is back. But then number two, just the hope, like you said, of the people that support him, that have supported this terrorist attack and everything else, that is now eliminated if you get that done. And the nice thing about that is that it's a separate vote from his conviction in the Senate, where you need 2/3 majority. But to keep him from running again, you only need a simple majority, so just 50 votes. So it's a lot easier to get, right? And so I think that I hope that the senators decide to impeach him. There has been some promising comments from some of the more prominent senators there, including Mitch McConnell, who has said that Trump has committed impeachable offenses.
And then he hasn't really shown his cards exactly. Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
And he knows it's coming, but it would be really hard to back off of a comment like that. I think he's, you know, done impeachable offenses. With that said, I'm not going to impeach him because now is a time for unity and healing, which, by the way, if anybody watched the House impeachment trial, I mean, it was a complete joke. I mean, you saw so many of these Republicans saying that, you know, yes, Donald Trump did some bad things, and yes, these people almost killed all of us, but at the end of the day, like, we need to heal the country, and I just think this would further divide the country. No, I mean, they're clearly trying to not have their party tarnished or whatever it may be, or, you know, continue to keep their seat. But I mean, this mob of people planned on killing you all. I mean, you heard Congressman Davis talk about it. You know, you heard Rep Meyer talk about it, and he still feels fears for his life. I mean, it's crazy, but, you know, another boring week in America, right? According to Matt, at least.
Yeah.
Let's go to another listener call here. You just go ahead and grab the next one there, Paul.
Let's go with Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, you are on the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. What is going on?
Ricky, thank you for taking my call.
You got it. You got it.
Hey, listen, I want to start with your father.
Mm-hmm.
Your father has been calling this for more than a year. And I quote Big Ricky saying, this guy's going to start a war before he gets out of the presidency.
Mm.
I never thought that it was going to be a war in the United States. So Ricky was right. Kudos to your father. I want to start with that. Second,
he also told me a long time ago, Roosevelt, that Trump could win. This was back in 2015.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, Trump can actually win. Don't be shocked. And I'm like, what? Come on. He also told me, my dad's real shrewd, obviously, politically. He also told me that, you know, we were going to get past this while it was happening. I called him. I was panicked. I was like, Dad, turn on the news. Do you see what's happening? You know, when the insurrection was happening. He goes, oh, sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better. And he hung up on me. But he knew that we were going to get past it. But go ahead.
He also said that Trump was going to lose. Let's not forget that. Let me say one thing. I'm going to try to be as brief because I know I'm looking at the clock and you don't have that much time.
Sure.
Okay, I want to start with this. Everything that Trump has done and the people around him have been very bad at what they do, even when they run an election, whatever. They've been terrible. Here's my point. This thing was pre-planned, Ricky, because he was tweeting back in December, I believe 18 or 19, saying, come on, basically. It's going to be wild on January 6th. Mm-hmm. This is his own tweet, okay? Next, I want to say that, have you seen any videos, Ricky, where the night before, Alex Jones was whipping everybody up in a frenzy. The night before, Alex Jones played a big part of this. Hmm. He had a blowhorn, one of those things that makes your voice amplify. What is that?
Megaphone.
Megaphone, that's what I'm trying to say. And speaking of megaphones, if you notice, there are videos out there where like there was like five guys in the middle of the crowd when this was originally a rally and not a march. So they were guiding these people with megaphones right there within the, I've seen videos of this, you know, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, on your Facebook, 820 WCPT, there was a report that the mother of that nut crazy woman, not the blonde lady, but the other one, the one that's carrying guns, I can't think of her name, her last name starts with a G, I can't think of her name.
The congresswoman? Okay.
The Congress. Okay. There's two crazy congresswomen, you know, that one of them is submitting papers to impeach Biden.
Yeah, already. Crazy.
Yeah, that's one. But then the other one, her own mother had a megaphone. It's been reported. She was one of the people that was directing people where to go, how to get there, and all this and that. Mm. And by the way, Ricky, when it's all said and done, Trump was right about one thing. Remember when he said that he loves the uneducated? Proof, the guy with the horns, all these idiots that were caught and they were picking up their phone, dialing. So the FBI, you know, this is evidence that they were there because they could place them there because they were making phone calls. They were recording. They were doing
like the live streaming, the West Virginia legislator that was like, you know, like, he's in the Capitol. Derek Brooks is in the Capitol. Yeah. You just outed yourself.
Wow. That's insane.
So Trump said that he loved the uneducated. That's what he had. Most of those people are uneducated. Kids, don't do what Trump does. Educate yourself. Learn about our Constitution, our history. And that's another thing. This guy never learned anything about our country, how this country is, how the government works.
He didn't. And there's so many problems with what we saw. Yeah. One of the things I just wanted to add in real quick is that the FBI did come out, and yesterday I believe they said that anybody who had a cell phone on in the Capitol building will be arrested, period.
Yeah.
Because they can track if it was on, period, they know it's you. They got your location, you will be arrested. So that is one of those things where I'm just like, clap it up for them that our institutions held after 4 years of this man trying to, you know, replace FBI director after FBI director and so many other different parts of our defense institutions.
And then these people were crying, about because he lost his social media. They're calling the Democrats and everybody cancel culture. Well, what didn't you guys try to cancel 81 million voters? So the hypocrisy still continues with these Trump supporters, including his family. So this cancel culture thing that they always claim another last thing I'm going to say this.
Sure.
I know I'm stumbling and mumbling. Thing I'm going to say, Ricky, is this. Why is it that it's up to Democrats to unite this country? Notice all those idiots that were on Trump's side. They said, "Oh, now is not the time to impeach him because you They're dividing the country.
Yeah.
How much more can you divide the country when you try to take away 81 million votes? So that's all I'm going to say, Ricky. Thank you for giving me the time.
Wonderful comments as always, Roosevelt. Thanks for calling into the show here. So we have about 5 minutes or so left, and I just want to just highlight where we are with COVID once again, just for the sake of our healthcare workers. I have so many people in my family and my friends that work in healthcare. I went to Bradley University, which is one of the best nursing schools in the country. So it feels like half the girls I know from there went into nursing. But, you know, I think it's so important that we just talk about where we are with COVID right now so that people can remember to stay diligent. I mean, I feel like even a little bit of a hypocrite here because I don't have my mask on, but people can't see you. We're more than 6 feet apart and you have yours on. But right now we are averaging 3,000 to 4,000 deaths every single day from COVID, right? It's not talked about as much in the news anymore. Things have been opened up a little bit, but we are at the highest that we have ever been.
I think I heard something on the news on our station about how this is worldwide. This is the 9th deadliest pandemic in history and then the 3rd deadliest in the last century.
Yeah. With modern technology. I mean, this is this is crazy. I mean, this thing is completely out of hand and it's getting worse. And one of the things that is making it worse is this the UK strain of COVID. And it's called the UK strain, but it's 100% here in America now. That's just where it originated from. So that's what they're calling it. But that makes it 70% more transmissible. So to put that into perspective, COVID initially could infect one person, can typically infect 2 to 3 people each. Now it's 3.5 to 5.5. With this new strain, right? So COVID is the worst it's ever been, and it's getting worse. We know what we need to do at this point. Stay in, right? I understand, and I am guilty of this myself, of you were going out when we did not know that we were going to have a vaccine, right? It kind of felt hopeless. It kind of felt like, well, at some point, I kind of need to live my life, and I understand that. We have one now. We have an end game in front of us, and so far it's been working pretty well. So just continue to pay attention to it. Continue to look out for your fellow Americans. Wear your mask. Don't go to large gatherings. You know the drill. Just do the best that you can. And by the way, go get your vaccine. If you think that there's something that is in the vaccine that they're going to microchip you and now they can track you, the FBI just told you that anybody who walked into the Capitol building is going to be arrested, okay? They already got you, right? If you got a cell phone, somebody can figure out where you are. There's no point in worrying about something that may or may not be in the vaccine, okay?
Well, if you have certain apps on your phone, too, you agreed to get monitored with your phone.
Everybody is being tracked right now. It just is what it is. So if you're worried about that happening from COVID, that's just not the case. More importantly, if you're worried about maybe it's going to kill you in 10 years, look at any doctor that has looked at this, right? Here in Illinois, there has been a team that was put together by some of the higher ups in the government, and they assembled a bunch of doctors from a bunch of different places here in Illinois. And they're like, hey, we've all looked at this. We've looked at every ingredient in this. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to do anything bad to you, right? I mean, we know this, right? And now you're seeing people who have taken it, and the overwhelming majority of them are fine. Yeah, some people have some response to it, but that's a good thing because that means that your body is actually fighting it and building those immunities. So I just wanted to go ahead and just let people know, stay focused on COVID, stay diligent, continue to do the right things because we're almost out of this. And if we all do what we need to do, maybe we can have a normal summer here in 2021. So that just about wraps up our show today. Starting to cut it off a little early, but I do want to go ahead and just say thank you to Congressman Danny Davis for calling into the show and having such a great dialogue with us today and giving us his insights on what it takes to be the best version of yourself, unite the country, and also giving us some reporting from Washington and what his experiences were like during the terrorist attack. I don't even know if we're calling it a riot anymore, right? I mean, these people literally planned to kill the man I was just talking to and so many others, right? It's a terrorist attack. So thank you to him. We are going to be getting these shows, each show that I do, on Apple Podcasts. So I'm going to start working on that so that people can listen to them after the fact. But as of today, you can always go to SoundCloud, WCPT 820, and look up our shows there. On the Facebook page for WCPT 820, you can look up our shows. As a matter of fact, if you just search Ricky Hendon on Facebook and you hit the videos button, you will see all of our shows there as well. And I'm actually streaming live on Instagram also, so you have it there. But we will have it on podcast here soon. Thank you to the whole WCPT 820 family. Paul, Nikos in the back, screening the call, working on our Facebook Live feed as well. Thank you all so, so much. And I will all next week, Ricky Hendon Jr. on the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. The West Side. The West Side.